If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To another episode of Who Would Win Unleashed, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Eric Holmes.
Woo! I'm back. I'm ready for more. Let's have some fun. I got some things to get right with you, buddy boy.
You know what? I would have taken that seriously if you didn't have a sandwich in your other hand as you were waving your...
Well, it is quite delicious.
It is delicious. So unprofessional. So this is just, in today's episode, a green-skinned alien warrior monk who fires energy blast battles a cryomancer ninja who freezes enemies solid, shatters them with amazing martial arts. In one corner, you have Piccolo, a Namekian warrior from the Dragon Ball universe with incredible combat intelligence, regenerative abilities, and a massive arsenal of energy-based and physical attacks. And in the other corner, you have Sub-Zero, a master assassin who controls the power of ice, wielding cryomancy to freeze, trap, and destroy his enemies in lethal precision strikes. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And this battle actually has never come up. However, there was one instance of Sub-Zero versus a character called King Piccolo. Mm-hmm. But King Piccolo is considered a separate entity, which means Who Would Win brings you yet again a premier geek culture matchup. You're welcome, Legion of Audience. This is what we do. Eric, yes. I got to know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
Yeah, we just don't stop, buddy boy. I'm going to say buddy boy a lot. I mean,
we're not that close, by the way.
Well, guy over there across the table. This is what we do.
At the Who Will Win show, these are battles that you might have thought about or, you know, maybe hearsay in a little village you might have traveled through. But on Who Would Win, these type battles do happen, and I cannot wait to get into this.
Well, you just came back from a huge mega trip from Europe.
Literally a village.
Yeah, well, literally a village. Was this what they were talking about in Italy in that small village with the vineyard you visited? Were they like, hey, you know what would be great?
Yeah.
This olive oil, and Piccolo versus Sub-Zero.
I just heard all Italian, yeah, and then all of a sudden, like, them talking out here, Sub-Zero and Piccolo. They don't go back to the title. Like, did you say Sub-Zero Piccolo? And they're like, ciao. They didn't want to talk to me, but I swore I heard him say Sub-Zero Piccolo. And
you know what?
Nano.
You know what, Eric? It's like I'm in Italy right now. It's like I'm right there.
You hear my Italian, right? My thick Italian accent?
I'm hearing something. I don't know what it is, right. But it's like I'm in some vineyard somewhere. We're in Venice,
come on in,
California.
Brother. Come on by, brother. Come on in.
All right. Well said. And interesting that's what's spoken about in little villages in Italy. All right. Speaking about little villages in Italy, it's time to introduce our guest judge.
Who's also from a little Italian village.
A little Italian village, making his way all the way from Pomezia, Italy.
Yes. Ciao. Yes. Hello. Bella, bella, bella.
Is it Giovanni? Prego, prego. No, it's not. It is the one, the only, the voiceover artist extraordinaire who we've had on the show before, making their second appearance, I should say, is the one, the only, I.O. Griffin. I.O., welcome back to Who Would Win.
Hello, welcome. Oh, it is not my first time here, folks, so I come back again, and I don't know if that's a good Italian.
It's not. I'll answer that for you. It's a very good, like, the Count from Sesame Street.
It was like
Street.
Ragu.
I'm thinking a little ragu.
Bit.
Northern Louisiana-ish, kind of Arkansas.
You know what? There's some Italians that live there, so, okay, you know, we're close.
We'll get into that. Back to our judge.
It was pretty bad. So listen, you've been on the show before. You did absolutely great. But here's the thing. This is a little bit of a different challenge, a different matchup. You know, you've got, you know, the iconic character from Sub-Zero, from Mortal Kombat, I should say, was Sub-Zero. And you've got one of the most popular, most dominant, one of the main characters, at least it was for a while, for the Dragon Ball universe. I mean, this is actually a huge responsibility because you've got a way that's either way, you're going to be possibly disappointing a massive fan base. And I'm about to tell everyone where you live as well. So this is not going to end up good for you whatsoever, but it'll be fun for the Who Would Win show. What are your thoughts on this? Like, how are you going to manage this?
This is definitely a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to do my best to be unbiased and, you know, weigh the fan base as much as the matchup.
So one thing as a voiceover, I never like to put voiceover artists on the spot. So let me put you on the spot real quick. When, you know, a Dragon Ball character has to power up, you know, we've seen Goku and the voice actor has to do it and sometimes passes out in the booth as, you know, like, and they're powering up and going nuts. Can you do that right now and pass out as if you're powering up as Piccolo? No,
does
okay,
Piccolo say the same thing as go? Like, is it the Kamehameha?
All right, so we need a new judge.
Just passed out, guys.
Yeah. Not only does Piccolo not say that.
Oh my gosh, he's pissing himself now. Oh my gosh, he's pissing himself. Right. Wake him up, James, wake him up. Oh
my gosh. By the way, that answers my second question of how familiar you are with the character of Piccolo. I'm going to put down not very. That's okay.
Not
very. But I got to tell you, that's an excellent Kamehameha.
As a judge, I feel that I should come in raw. Sorry, kids.
That's right, kids.
I don't think you're being
unfiltered.
I gotta tell you, I like that power up. That's awesome. I've heard Eric do the same thing when he's about to order, you know, a sandwich or something, and he's just excited. And we're in line, and all of a sudden, like, he powers up.
Long John Silver.
Long John Silver.
Oh, this is gonna be a bad order.
And like, or a Five Guys burger or something like that. And I'm like, calm it down. It's not that impressive.
So Io, what have you done that has caused you to pass out?
Oh goodness! I don't think that's appropriate
turn.
For air.
Yeah. That's, you know what? There's a reason why you're not the host for the show, Eric. That's
an interesting. I'm like, oh my gosh, I was about to pass out pretty soon. I'm hearing some noises coming out of his apartment again. He's up to something in there.
Wow.
Let's bring it back.
This episode of Who Would Win is brought to you by Family Values. Family Values, something we need more of on the Who Would Win show. Back to Eric. All right.
We'll do some editing.
We'll see. All right, listen. So it's anime versus, you know, gaming. A fan base for each. Mortal Kombat 2 was just announced that it's coming out in, I think, May. And nice. We have some friends of the show who worked on that movie as well. This is going to be huge. There's a lot of eyes and ears on today's episode. So no pressure, but there's a reason why we brought you to this episode, by the way, because we know you're going to do a great job.
Hell
now,
yeah.
That being said, let's get to today's episode. But before we get to the battle, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, the bottom line of Who Would Win match is that for one side to get the win, their opponent must be somehow incapacitated for a minimum of 2 minutes where they pose no threat whatsoever. And before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Here are the details for Sub-Zero. Sub-Zero is the codename of two Cryomancer brothers from the Mortal Kombat franchise, with Kuai Liang being the most iconic version, of course. As Grandmaster of the Lin Kuei, Sub-Zero has mastered his family's lethal martial arts alongside mystical cryomancy, allowing him to generate ice weapons, summon freezing storms, and immobilize opponents in mid-motion. He's defeated powerful sorcerers, revenants, outworld monsters, and other elemental fighters. His signature ice clone slide and freeze projectile attacks make him unpredictable and deadly at any range. Calculated, calm, and brutal, Sub-Zero is a true apex predator in the Mortal Kombat arena. And here are the details for Piccolo. Piccolo is a Namekian fighter and former villain turned hero, my favorite type, by the way, serving as one of the core protectors of Earth in the Dragon Ball universe. Once merged with Kami to unlock his full potential, Piccolo has since become a tactical genius and one of the most well-rounded warriors in the series. He can fly, regenerate limbs, stretch his body to extreme lengths, and unleash devastating energy blasts like the special beam cannon. In Dragon Ball Super, Piccolo's power has reached God-tier levels. I'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. Let's just say he's someone who shouldn't be messed with. His battle IQ, calm focus, and his abilities make him one of the deadliest strategists in any arena he steps into. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Io, do you have any questions before we get started?
It was win by death, incapacitation, or what was the third? Complete removal?
Battlefield removal.
Okay.
You know, some people can open portals, push you through. Maybe someone wants to run for their life because maybe, you know, Sub-Zero is not ready for what's going to happen to him when Piccolo comes in. You know, whatever it may be. However, Piccolo can win. All right, let's get this battle started. Eric, go ahead and hit us with your point number one.
Absolutely. So for my point number one, I want to get into Cryomancer powers that shut down energy and movement, okay? Sub-Zero, all right, it's a very cold, cold man. I want to talk about his ice blasts, freezing waves, and ice clones that can literally halt motion instantly, even mid-attack, turning momentum into vulnerability, all right? So Cryomancy, okay, affects energy-based fighters and fast opponents alike, all right, letting them interrupt beam charges, movement abilities, and even flight. His ice weapons can block or parry energy attacks and freeze energy in midair, as shown in MK versus energy based foes like Liu Kang's fire and Fujin's wind. Also, while Piccolo relies on range and technique, okay, Sub-Zero literally reduces the fight to a frozen, controlled arena, which will literally force close combat where he really excels in. Okay, so all that's my point number one, James.
That is a quick point number one, but a powerful point number one.
Come on.
Sub-Zero, by the way, the first time I played Mortal Kombat.
Sub-Zero.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
So glad Eric's here. So the thing is, with Sub-Zero, that was my favorite character when I did actually play video games. I was actually addicted to video games, you know, growing up.
No way.
Yeah, and that's why I don't play video games at all anymore. Running joke with the Legion of Audience. But here's the thing. He's great. He's a great fighter. He's got great abilities. But I don't think he's ever faced anything like a Piccolo before. Mm. You know, some flying opponent who can do all these crazy stuff. Remember, in the Dragon Ball world, you don't just start off as like a weak opponent in the build up. You know, you start off insanely strong and then just get insanely ridiculously strong from there. But let me get to my point number one. My point number one, let's talk about the tactical genius, the long range ability, the regeneration, and the morphing combat that is Piccolo. Look, first thing, he's a battlefield tactician. This is someone who can read opponents easily and adapt mid-fight. He finds counters against counters, even against stronger opponents against himself. Look, strong opponents come all the time in Dragon Ball. It's literally a weekly thing where a new world or universe destroying opponent comes in, and Piccolo figures out how to battle them and how to change his tactics. You can't catch him by surprise because he figures out what you're bringing to the table right away. He's mastered techniques like this special beam cannon that he yells out really cool, that destroys like easily, like starting off, he destroys mountains. That's his starting point. He destroys mountains.
Yes.
My favorite one, the Hell Zone Grenade. That is awesome. What do we need more in this world? Hell Zone Grenades, Eric.
Yeah, these things. That's a thing. More,
that's
please.
A thing. Right. He can create clones of himself that can fight at equal power to himself. By the way, you know what he does with his clones? He makes them explode. So all of a sudden you're punching a powerful version of Piccolo and you're like, better worry about those Hell Zone Grenades. No, not a problem, because his clone just blows up and explodes on you and takes out at least a mountain or two. This is something that gives him just this unmatched versatility in range combat. He's absolutely amazing. He's got stretchable limbs. He puts Mr. Fantastic to shame. He can fly and fly at super speeds. And he's also a combat flyer. So he uses his flight to help him fight as well. He's got regeneration. Literally tear off an arm, he regrows the arm. Good luck with that. Blast off a part of his body and he just grows it back. It's insane. This is someone who can create barriers or force fields made out of energy as well. Meaning Sub-Zero is going to struggle just to reach him, to actually physically get an attack to him, let alone damage him permanently. Look, this is someone who regrew his arm seconds after having it blasted off by a character named Android 17. And this is someone who recovers from planet busting level attacks. This has happened to him multiple times. Again, this is the beginning of Piccolo, not even where he's going. He's facing off against planet busting attacks. You know who's not facing off against that? Sub-Zero. Just putting that out there. This is someone who wins in the long distance, and this is someone who uses precision in his energy blast. He's not just great of a great fighter, he's also a marksman extraordinaire. This is someone who will shoot one blast, you know, take you an eye out over here, and then just absolutely screw around with you and take you apart. This guy is a beautiful fighter. I'm going to say it. I just did. A beautiful fighter is what Piccolo is. That's my point number one.
Okay. All right. So this guy sounds like he has a little heat going on with him, right? But I think if you've been in a real winter and you being Canadian, you know how quick that heat wears off. All right. So I'm going to give you some cold rebuttals, like literally Sub-Zero type rebuttals. Thank you. So Sub-Zero literally controls the arena, controls it. Okay. So no amount of planning helps if your movement's frozen, brother. None of it. It doesn't matter. Okay. Especially with his little stuff trying to grow and all that. It's not going to work. Okay. Also, ice attacks block energy. Hello. Sub-Zero really will close the distance before Piccolo could even set up to try to get his little energy going. Okay. Also, stretchable limbs and regeneration. You were talking about that a lot. Looks like, once again, being frozen will stop his limbs and his mobility. All right. So regeneration literally doesn't help against sustained ice control. And then also he has planet level durability, right? So Sub-Zero doesn't need to destroy planets. Okay. He only needs one frozen opening to win. And all that is some of my points that I'm making against your points. And yeah, I'm done. I digress.
You know, just a quick question. When Sub-Zero freezes an opponent, how many seconds does that last for?
I think for about like 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Interesting. Not the 2 minutes required, but 10 seconds. Interesting. Mm. All right. But let's see what our judge has to say. We've heard one point from both Eric and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
You know, I think that it's going to be a close range battle. The ice beams disrupting the flight, which would be the advantage that Piccolo has flying around, you know, would kind of be disrupted a little bit by Sub-Zero's ability to kind of control the space of the arena. So I think that, yeah, Piccolo's definitely going to have his hands busy regenerating limbs as he's getting frozen from piece to piece, even though he may be quick enough to dodge the majority of the attack to, I would say, freeze him completely. But yeah, that regenerative ability is going to be put to the test.
All right, interesting point. I like where this battle is going. Stay tuned for point number two.
Hey, everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back. Eric, let's see what you got. Here's your point number two.
Absolutely. So I want to get into, we're talking about Sub-Zero. I also want to talk about his lethal martial arts, okay, and assassin training, which can literally neutralize power gaps, all right? So he's been trained in multiple styles of Lin Kuei, martial arts. Of Sub-Zero has defeated enhanced magical and undead foes, okay, through pure combat skill. He's bested warriors like Scorpion, okay, Sektor, Noob Saibot, Frost, and Quan Chi, okay? All of whom bring supernatural abilities. These are not some small foes, all right? Also, he counters energy users by closing distance fast. His ice slide, don't forget about that, for all you Mortal Kombat, gamers. He can clone teleport, okay? Which allow him to outmaneuver charging attacks, all right? Piccolo may be stronger, but Sub-Zero fights smarter. He always finds openings, all right, and he finishes fast, and he will always target critical weak spots. And all that, James, my point number two.
You know, I like all that because the versatility of the Mortal Kombat realm brings a lot of different opponents to this with different abilities, different fighting experience, what have you. But how many gods are there in Mortal Kombat that you face off against? I mean, there's Raiden, you know, I guess the main boss of, you know, the evil boss, whatever that might be, is two. But these gods can still be hurt by regular humans. So I kind of question, you know, the upper tier of who Sub-Zero is actually fighting. Not that he's not a great fighter, but it's just like, hey, that's like saying I'm a champion amateur MMA fighter.
Okay.
Awesome. But the moment you go into the UFC against a top five opponent, you know, things get different very, very quickly.
Right.
That's who Piccolo regularly trains with is the equivalent of the Dragon Ball universe, like the top UFC champions. And the only people, the only reason he fights a different opponent is because a new champion gets crowned. He's not fighting regular humans. He's fighting God level tier beings, literally within the Dragon Ball universe. All right, pretty much speaking of which, for point number two, Piccolo, let me put it this way. He's a combat veteran who trains with gods, literally, I just said it, and spars against universal level threats. So I'm not talking about, hey, this is a very powerful warrior brought back from the dead who's got supernatural ability and what happened. No. We're talking about he spars with beings who are a threat to the universe, right, in terms of level of power. This is a different thing. Now, he's trained with Goku, Vegeta, Gohan. These are all probably the top three most powerful, arguably, beings, not just in the Dragon Ball universe, but in the Dragon Ball multiverse. This is really crazy. He was one of the primary fighters in what was called the Tournament of Power. That was a universal tournament, where the top fighters from each dimension within the Dragon Ball universe came together. By the way, Piccolo's team won, in large part thanks to what Piccolo can do. He fought opponents who are called Android 17, Frost, Sonel. You know, these are beings who are God-level tiered beings. This is the ridiculousness of Dragon Ball, where, you know, in when Dragon Ball Z first started, Vegeta comes along, you know, pretty quickly within the series. And the first thing he does before he powers up or anything, he destroys a planet. That's his starting point. Piccolo matches that level very, very quickly. And then they just go up from there. It's insane. Their starting point is planet busting power level. And that's their beginning point, and then they just go up from there. It is absolutely insane. This is someone who loves to spar and train. He wears weighted clothing. He's got like a turban he wears all the time for some reason. He's got a cape. His boots are weighted. So whenever he fights, he's like, hey, I'm going to try something different here. And he takes off his turban. He takes off his cape, and they hit the ground. They create craters in the ground. He just walks around with that kind of stuff. Imagine you had a weighted vest that weighed like 500 pounds, and you had to walk around with that all the time. And you're like, hey, I guess I got to get serious now. I'll just take this off. Bam! And now you're super fast. This is someone who also likes to train what's called the hyperbolic time chamber. This is where time stands still on the inside. Time goes fast on the inside, much faster than the outside. So he'll stay for like a day. What goes passes outside for a day is like 10 years, or at least a year, I should say, within it. And he trains like crazy during that time and comes out insanely more powerful. See, here's the thing about Piccolo, Gohan, and Goku. The more they train, the more powerful they become. It's not the more they fight, the more they train. And they love training, and they train all the time. Look, Sub-Zero may be a master assassin, but Piccolo has trained to fight literal gods, demons, and multiverse level threats. And not only does he survive, he prevails. That's my point number two.
All right, James. Yeah. Thank you for making those rather watered down points there. But anyhow, all right, this is what I got to lay out there. Okay. Training alone doesn't guarantee victory. Okay. So, you know, Sub-Zero's precision strikes and adaptive combat will exploit openings that brute strength or raw skill can't cover, right? Also, a weapon expertise, okay? Even if an opponent wields a powerful weapon like your little guy, okay? Sub-Zero can literally counter and disarm it with his ice-crafted swords and his axes. Let's not forget about his axes, okay? And then also, remember, dude, we're talking about Sub-Zero stealth and ambush tactics, all right? He can outlast, overpower opponents. Literally, Sub-Zero can strike first, controlling the fight before they even realize he's there, all right? And also, he can do environmental manipulation, okay? Sub-Zero, you can use the terrain and traps to restrict movement and force mistakes, all right? And also, raw training or experience, like your little Piccolo again, isn't enough when Sub-Zero can mislead, okay, bait, and also intimidate enemies, causing even the strongest fighters to falter under that ice pressure. And all of that is my thoughts to your presentation, and I digress.
Look, I get it. We all agree. Sub-Zero is like the Greta Thunberg of, you know, video games. I understand. And we all respect her for what she's attempting to. She's got a good heart. I think she's got a good heart. Aisle, listen, you've heard 2 points from both of us. Eric's making some great points. I'm making some better points. Where's your head at so far with this battle? Disagree. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to gain the victory?
You know, right now there's a I have a tally. I've tallied a score, and what it's looking like of 10 points of really strong arguments that have been made. I'd say that Piccolo has the slight advantage of, well, not 10 points. It's 9 points at this point. At 10, it might be tied. But 9 points, Piccolo is up 5-4 right now. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And, okay, so if Piccolo's ahead, what does Sub-Zero have to do to gain the victory?
Give it to me.
I mean, does Sub-Zero have to be rep by me? Is that the only chance?
It's the power of their attacks. It's the I think that on the top of the list, it's strong babies. You know, these strong babies that become stronger guys. The babies are arm wrestling. The quality of opponent of opponents. You know, with Piccolo, you know, he's fighting in this hyperbolic time chamber, against other strong babies, mm-hmm. you know, and that's all they do all day, right. You know, with weighted vests on.
And hoping some limbs will grow for him,
and
right?
And, you know, I was thinking that, you know, yeah, the time in the hyperbolic chamber, you know, might be an advantage, but Sub-Zero's undead. So once again, like, there's no determination of how long he's been training either. You know, he might just be, murking all of his opponents by, you know, clear old age. And so I don't know how he's building, you know, his body count. Mm-hmm. Deflecting the planet busting ability of each opponent is going to be key in the matchup. And I think that, what's keeping Sub-Zero in the fight right now is his ability to manipulate the environment and teleport. Mm-hmm. So I think he's really going to keep Piccolo on his toes. And, you know, there's no way, you know, although he has the ability to destroy a planet, you know, you're not just going to go around fighting one guy, destroying planets just to get this one guy. So, you know, you're going to have to keep the power range, you know, within reason of, focusing it on one opponent. Within that, I think that, you know, Sub-Zero is still in the fight.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you're saying Piccolo's ahead slightly.
Slightly.
Right, oh, I like right. this. I like where this battle's at. All right. Let's see what you got. Stay tuned for point number three. And we're back. Eric, it's now or never. Hit us for your point number three.
I'm going to bring it home. Here we go. The last point I'm going to make. I want to talk about Sub-Zero's tactical adaptation and instant kill finishing power. Let's finish this, all right? Sub-Zero adapts, okay, his tactics to any opponent, all right? Whether it's zoning with ice projectiles, rushing with melee, or baiting into traps, okay? He's fought gods, revenants, and multi-dimensional, okay, threats across multiple Mortal Kombat tournaments and has still survived, all right? Also, he has fatalities, my friends. Fatalities, all right? You've seen how they do in Mortal Kombat. I mean, it is a little heinous at times, you know? You might be having a little porridge for dinner. You might not want to look at all the imagery, especially with where graphics has gone now. But anyways, he has fatalities designed to instantly end fights, including freezing and shattering entire bodies, ripping out spines or flash freezing brains. I mean, how about that for supper, baby? All right, I'm going to say this. He wins by freezing Piccolo. I'm going to call him Piccolo. That's right. At the right moment, okay? Like the mid-range special beam cannon charge and executing a shatter kill or limb while another limb's trying to grow, just start removing all the limbs. Okay, so limb removal finisher that ends the fight for more than 2 minutes. And all that, James, is my point number three.
All right, interesting stuff. Now, here's the thing with the fatalities. I love the fatalities. I can just watch the fatalities. And I'm not actually thinking of anyone who should be receiving fatalities, by the way. Like that one time I did for 3 hours watching fatalities on YouTube. And by the way, I even like the Mortal Kombat version of fatalities. Okay, here we go.
I mean, come on.
Here's the thing. To get a fatality, correct me if I'm wrong, you kind of have to have already have won, right? You've got to get that opponent's energy or whatever, their health down to kind of almost zero.
Yeah.
And then they're done. and then you do the fatality. It's not like, hey, during the fight, while they're, you know, going with good power, whatever, good health, you pull off a fatality.
But he's had fatality, so it means that he's won a lot, you see?
Sure, sure. All he's right. won a lot, as yeah. has Piccolo. But here's the thing. You got to finish the opponent to get a fatality. We're not talking about it's a fatality. You're saying if he wins, look at the cool thing he can do. I get it. You remember that time I choked that guy out because, you know, he made
your parking spot?
Or? Yeah, he made fun of me and said, hey, you park like a whatever. And I'm like, cool, choked him out. And you're like, fatality. And I appreciate the backup, by the way. Yeah. But I got the fatality on him, you know, because he was already finished.
Sure.
That's the thing. Okay, now let me get to my point number three. My point number three, here's the thing. We've been talking about Piccolo, and Piccolo's got this, you know, really cool green skin and what have you. But you know what Dragon Ball has and Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super? Power-ups. And all of a sudden, Goku goes from Goku to Super Saiyan, to Super Saiyan God, to Ultra Instinct. And Piccolo, especially very recently in a movie called Dragon Ball Super Superhero, I am that kind of nerd, by the way, Piccolo finally had his insane transformation after decades and went Piccolo Orange, of all things. So all of a sudden, he's taking on these super powerful androids who are, again, easily able to destroy the world. Gohan is there, Goku's son. Gohan's insanely powerful as well. And all of a sudden, something's about to happen. I believe it was to Gohan's daughter or something like that, who Piccolo sees as his kind of like surrogate grandkid, whatever. And he gets hit. And all of a sudden, he just loses it, Dragon Ball style. And all of a sudden, emerges way bigger than before, way more powerful, orange colored. And now he rivals, according to all of that, the higher tier powers of Goku and Vegeta and Ultra. In other words, there's beings in Dragon Ball called the gods of destruction, right? Mm-hmm. These are people who use... have the ability to remove things from existence. They're that powerful. Vegeta is now rivaling that. And now Piccolo also rivals the gods of destruction. They're the top tiered beings of each universe. Piccolo is right there. Now you got to put this in perspective. Dragon Ball Z, within the first arc, whatever, second arc, Piccolo's rivaling Vegeta, who starts off destroying planets. And then all of a sudden, now Piccolo's at this insane ability. He's literally at the top upper echelon of powerful. We don't know if there's more powerful beings than Piccolo out there right now. We don't know. He's at least at the top tier. Now, why is this important? Because what happens in Dragon Ball, whether it's Goku, Vegeta, Piccolo, all of a sudden they're trapped by energy or cold or something else. What do? They dig deep. Just when you think they're defeated, all of a sudden they start thinking about the people that depend on them, especially people like Gohan, who a lot of people think Piccolo is a better dad to Gohan than Goku is, or Pan, who is Gohan's daughter, Piccolo's surrogate granddaughter, whatever, and he has something to fight for, and he's like, Sub-Zero is going to take them out if I don't finish him. Even if he gets frozen in his planet-busting thing, he taps deep into it and does the Dragon Ball thing, yells like crazy, just like Io did that one time, and becomes insanely super god-tiered powerful, where he can take on multiverse-level threats. That's who Sub-Zero has to take on. By the way, he can blast from the cold. He can try all these battle tactics. There's no battle tactics that Piccolo hasn't already seen, encountered, or done by himself. Hey, the ice clone, that's awesome. He creates one ice clone. Piccolo creates a number of clones. By the way, we already know this. What happens if you hit one of them? He decides he wants to have fun with it. He'll make it explode. Boom. Right? Power enough to destroy a planet. That's what Sub-Zero is facing. By the way, Piccolo has such good control over his power that he can have a planet-busting blast stay within a contained area, bubble around a person, so it all blows up and explodes inwards. He controls energy blasts. He doesn't just shoot it. He can control the direction. He can shoot a blast from his finger and literally direct it like Darkseid does with his Omega beams. Yeah, again, that much of a nerd, that's what you're dealing with. In the end, as great as Sub-Zero is, he has nothing compared to the experience, the tactics, the desire to win because he's fighting for more than himself, Orange Piccolo, and that's my point number three.
All right, so you keep talking about this Orange Piccolo transformation, right? It was all about his transformation, right? All the stages of what he has to do to start transforming all that, okay? Listen, this is what's going to shut all that down, okay? Power boosts do not matter if Sub-Zero freezes you mid-move. That's it. Mobility and momentum are key, okay? Ragdoll's Gamma 2 and all that, all right? Even powerful foes still can act when frozen, okay? Sub-Zero will neutralize all raw strength, all right? He literally survives Cell Max attacks, okay? Surviving doesn't equal winning. A single Fatal Ice combo will end the fight, okay? On par with Goku and Vegeta, okay? Training and power tiers will fail when Sub-Zero controls a battle filled with ice, all right? Also, trying to overwhelm Sub-Zero is not going to work, all right? Ice freezes speed and energy output, forcing Piccolo into close combat where we all know Sub-Zero literally excels in close combat, okay? And all that is my rebuttal to your points, and I'll digress.
Very cool. I love where you're coming with this. I don't think you've quite overcome what Orange Piccolo can do, but that's not for me to determine.
It's not.
Because we have a genius judge here. Io, you've heard 3 points from Eric and myself.
Must I remind you?
Please. Every time. You've heard 3 points from Eric. You've heard 3 points from me. It's time for you to make a decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and tell us who wins this battle between Sub-Zero and Orange Piccolo. Thank you very much.
A little Orange Piccolo's playing on the little countryside, okay? A little Piccolo. Okay?
My goodness.
Did they talk about that in that small Italian village?
Of course. Puttanano.
Now, grazie, prego. I do have one question. Ciao. You were saying, James, with the cloning ability of Piccolo, all his clones are equally powerful as he is. When Piccolo transforms into this orange being, are all his clones also orange?
Everything he can do without, you know, in his regular self, he can do as orange, except at a much higher power level with more speed, more power. Everything gets enhanced.
All right. You know, this is that's a lot to consider, but I'm going to tell you there was for a long majority of this debate, I was definitely leaning in one direction. But then at the end, I want to say that there were some really compelling arguments that might have tilted the battlefield a little bit, so to speak. You know, thinking about the strong babies, the quality of opponents, the combat veteran training against gods for Piccolo, but then Sub-Zero's ability to teleport, control the arena, and his ice attacks really being able to divert powerful streams of energy. You know, and once again, I think that there was, you know, some deep dives into the motivation of each fighter. And James, you made a great point with the family values, intrinsically motivating, Piccolo and, you know, his ability to surge power. And, then I considered the three different ways of losing this battle. I think that that's really what determined my decision. I'd say Sub-Zero by incapacitation for 2 minutes, no more. And that be, and the reason being, yes, that Sub-Zero, keeping the battlefield contained, and keeping Piccolo off balance, I don't think that he ultimately defeats him. I think that he incapacitates him, by way of, you know, fatality, but then Piccolo regenerates, and from 1,000 pieces being, you know, being shattered into 1,000 pieces, hones in on his ability to, I guess, morph into Orange Piccolo. But we weren't debating Orange Piccolo. On the screen, we had Green Piccolo. So that's where I think that Sub-Zero edges out Piccolo in the...
Oh, my God. Ooh. I can't believe you made this decision. So you're saying all the different things that Sub-Zero can do, all the different versions Sub-Zero that Eric brought up, and I'm using the same character and what he can do, and yet somehow you're like, well, the picture says Green Piccolo. Here's the deal. It's me right now. Hold on. If I wear a different shirt, am I a different version of myself? I don't think so. If I wear a jiu-jitsu gi with a black belt, Eric's got a white belt, by the way, am I a different version of me? No, absolutely not. It's who I am. Piccolo, that's part of it. Is Super Saiyan Goku not Goku? Of course he is. Here's the deal, though. You're the judge. It's your decision right now, as incorrect as it is. But I will stand by it. Legion of audience, tell me.
Incapacitation. There's a
yes.
There's a further battle, but for the purpose of the win.
Incapacitation. Yes. Even Good Eric judge. Said 10 seconds at most, he'd be frozen.
But that's just one. True. But 10 seconds. Stop there. He can keep firing off. Okay.
So yeah, and let him. And then all of a sudden, Orange Piccolo gets so powerful. All of a sudden, nothing's going to work
frozen,
anymore.
How are you going to get orange, buddy? You're frozen
because you're still thinking. That's the whole thing. Frozen. In Dragon Ball, they're always incapitated for a short, like 10 seconds, and they're like, I can't let them win. I can't do it. I'm going to find a new power level. And they emerge more powerful. I completely disagree with an otherwise somewhat logical process, but still.
But correct.
We'll see what the Legion of Mods has to say. All right,
so with how he feels about that.
With that being said, Eric, congratulations.
Thank you.
According to the judge, you got the win.
The honest, unbiased.
So unbelievable.
Smart.
So unbelievable. Green Ranger can bring in the Dragon Sword and everything that's part of him. But Piccolo, who's actually staying Piccolo and just changing color to orange, more powerful. No, not part of the whole person. I need consistency from the judge is all I'm saying. All right. With that being said, well done. You weighed out everything really well. I, of course, disagree completely with what you said. In case I didn't make myself clear, but I love your process, your storytelling, and what I really appreciate is how you weigh everything together. Really well done. Hell Eric, congratulations. You got a win.
Thank you, James.
Tell the Legion of Audience how you feel.
Like $1 million. I'll tell you what, I'm going to finish myself a whole bag of popcorn when I get home because I deserve it. Actually, it'll be my second bag, I won't lie. I had one before I got here, so I'm going to go fire up my second bag because I'm going to celebrate. This is a great victory.
Wait, that's your celebration is a second bag of popcorn.
There's the butter.
Way to live big, by the way. Way to live big. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to throw like a hot dog in there? Or is that a little crazy? Is that like, you know, is that like a little piccolo orange for you?
Yeah, I might throw a hot dog in it. I have a little roller machine at the house.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could take one of those bad boys off when I get home.
Why am I not surprised you have a hot dog roller machine?
Are you judging?
I know. I'm just
saying. Why do you not have a hot dog roller machine?
You know, because I like to live to tomorrow, by the way. But you know, whatever. You do hot dogs and all.
At least they're all beef dogs.
Are they though?
I don't know how to change.
Didn't you say the homeless population dropped dramatically ever since starting hot dogs? All right, that's fair.
I do not have a roller machine. But anyway, I'm feeling good. I'm going to celebrate.
Woo. That's fair. All right. Feel free to celebrate with Eric by having popcorn.
Yes.
All right. Io, I know you're already questioning your life decisions right now by giving the win to Eric, and that's fine. That happens often. Thank you again for coming on to the show for your last appearance ever on the Who Would Win show. That was great.
He's a great guy.
But until the next time, I'm kidding. Please come back. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
Yeah, everybody, you can find me at iothevoice.com or on Instagram at iothegriffin, A-Y-O-T-H-E-G-R-I-F-F-I-N. And anywhere that radio is streaming.
Ooh, that was
silk.
Deep.
You heard that, Silk?
That was deep. That was, like, nice.
This man's walking silk, baby.
That's
Don't let him walk.
You know what else is walking silk? Not your hot dogs you'll be having later in celebration for this. All right, Eric, again, great job on your win today. Tell Legion of Audience where they can find you.
Yes, all my socials are at DTHE Eric Holmes. Eric with the C-H-O-L-M-E-S. Let's connect.
Now, did you want to give your home address so people can come by and grab some popcorn for themselves and celebrate?
The store opens out of my living room every night between 9 and 12 midnight. And you stop by, have some fun, have some conversation. And we'll see you at my house.
I'm just thinking there's probably like 3 or 4 people are going to show up at your place tomorrow and just
they're going to be some phenomenal hot dogs. I got the movie butter popcorn ready to go. My microwave literally pairs perfectly with the package that says 2.5 minutes. So we're going to have a good party.
Y'all
should have been with me during Labor Day weekend. We could all have hot dogs and popcorn.
I'd like to live to next week, but I'm good. All right. With that being said, you can find me on X, AKA Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing at James Gavsey. I'll be working out at the gym, having salad and chicken, because I like to, enjoy life and live a little bit, but that's okay. That's just a me thing. Yeah. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Eric Holmes, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time. Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Hey, everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.